Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at the Kennedy Center this Friday night.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point.
Not Taco Bell Material returns to Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material, April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California, presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla in D.C. at the Kennedy Center Friday night, Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd, and Santa Ana April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you were willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence. Then you too could have a gold membership to the Mulholland Club.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from A&E's Rooster and Butch, Rooster McConaughey and Butch Gilliam, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the return of This Week in Rage. And now, his show tonight at the Kennedy Center will be the most important theater performance in D.C. since Lincoln went to Ford's Theater. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. I want to thank Dollar Shave Club for doing their thing. DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. Get all started up in there for just $5. And Books, of course, Books.com/Adam. You get your 15% off. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
My daddy works at the post office.
All right. So let's see. As you hear this, I am taking a tour of NASA.
Excuse me?
You're like marching south.
Took off for Atlanta. Had Mike August meet me in my driveway at 5:45 in the a.m. Flew out to Atlanta. Did a show in Atlanta. I've got to tell you, the losing the 3 hours is a little bit of a bitch when you get started at 5 in the morning.
Precious hours.
You start working on things like, oh, we're doing the show at 6:30, not at 8. And you're like, oh, it's at 6:30? Yeah, oh, and you lose 3 hours. And it's like, before you know it, you're just staggering off a plane and onto a stage. I would love going
coffee down your throat.
Yes. I'd love going the other direction for once. I'd love just to get, like when you leave New York and you back out the 3 hours, you leave the East Coast, you back out the 3 hours, and you land, and instead of three, it's noon. You go, I'm going to take a big fat nap.
I think I know what you're saying. Hawaii live show?
That's right.
It's our only option.
That's our only option at this point.
So there's that. And then we were offered, you know, I've got to say, ever since I did Loveline, if somebody sent over a batch of homemade cookies, Drew and I would just eat them. And if somebody said, like, I'll pick you up at the airport or something, we'd just go, fine. Like, I've never been the whole deal with the fans is I've never had any, serial killers. I'm worried about what they might be doing or anything. Let me tell you something that's liberating. Not having a lot of personal concerns about yourself.
I'll bet.
It's super liberating because when Mike says some fan's picking us up from the airport, I just go, fine. I don't have to run a security clearance on him. I don't care. I've ridden in the back of a pickup truck to Vegas from LA with no split window, by the way, just a closed back window in a pickup truck and no camper shell and no bed liner. Just sat in the back of a pickup truck.
Did you sit or lie down or both? I'd imagine.
I remember it well.
Because sitting is, that's pretty hairy.
It was very uncomfortable. My buddy Chris, there's a picture of this pickup truck that Max Pata probably has. It's in not Taco Bell material. It's just, it is a standard bed, standard cab, bench seat, no headrest, no air, you know, crank up windows. Like, people don't, you know, Dawson's pickup truck is a wagon train. It is a massive behemoth of a beast, and it's a Toyota Tundra, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, mini pickup trucks or Japanese pickup trucks were mini pickup trucks. They were mini. Like, right. They were not big. They were small. That was kind of the whole, yeah, that was compact. The whole thing. And I was always 6'2", and my buddy Chris was always 6'2", and Ray was always 6'2", and they were big dudes, and we were big dudes, and we had to ride around these mini little pickup trucks. And what you do is you just push the whole bench seat as far back as you could, and then your head would just sit against the glass in the back. And there was no camper, and there was no anything. And there were mini. And we decided we're going to Vegas. And so it was a lot of jockeying as to who got the front seat and who got to sit on the bench. And now, these are three big dudes, and we can't all sit on this bench seat all the way to Vegas. The truck is too small. Someone's got to ride in the bed. So, famously, I've told it before, but Chris picked me up first. Now, later on, I went to buy this guy's pickup truck. You, Max Zapata, have uncovered a pickup truck that is a 79 Datsun. Not Nissan, Datsun pickup truck. And this truck, I remember I bought a bed box through the recycler newspaper, and I spray painted it black, and I bolted it on the back where I would keep my tools. This does have a split window. A decent producer would be aware of that. The 84 black Nissan, they'd just gone over to Nissan. They probably went over to Nissan like 81, 82, or 81, something like that.
But we wouldn't have seen this big stud in his bathrobe.
See my big stud in my big bathrobe stand next to my motorcycle. It was a black pickup truck, but it was also just a mini little pickup truck. This truck had a long bed, I remember, but the other one didn't. Anyway, Chris picked me up first. I was then told to, when we picked up Ray, Ray came around and Ray said, get in the back. And I said, there's my pickup truck. There's, it's a miniature little, like the bed is 6 foot long. So if you, I could have my head touching metal, my feet touching metal. And
but he picked you up first. So everyone's where they should be and Ray needs to hop in the back.
Right. But let me explain why I'm me and they are them.
Because this is not your pickup truck?
I bought it later.
Okay.
Chris
kept saying it's yours. I'm like, why are you
Chris,
in the back?
Chris owned it. And he drove it for a while, and at some point he sold it to me, and it was the nicest pickup truck I'd ever had in my life. Now, that's the pickup truck where I spray-painted the stereo so it wouldn't be stolen, put the kill switch on. So the stereo wouldn't be stolen, and then put the kill switch on the fuel pump in the back.
The nice
so,
pickup truck.
And it was stolen. It was stolen three times. Now, again, it's such a weird – it's weird. I didn't think much of it at the time, but it's a weird thing to go out in front of your apartment – announce that your pickup truck has been stolen and then try to figure out what direction it was facing and then walk that direction to go find it. Imagine your car stolen. You go, well, what direction was it facing? Were you pulling up this way or pulling up that way? I was pulling up this way.
Well,
then start walking.
Good thing
I
had this
app. Walking and it would run out of gas. I knew it ran out of gas in like a block and a half. And sure enough, there it was. But anyway, ignition was pulled out. But I was able to start with a screwdriver. But so Ray came down and Ray said, get out. And I said, no, I was in the front and I was in the front first. So you got to ride in the back of the pickup truck to Vegas. And again, no camper shell or anything. And
out comes his penis.
He said, no, you're getting back. And I said, no, I'm not getting back. You're getting back. And then at a certain point, he was yelling at me to get in the back. And I was thinking about it and I realized it was the summer and this was the nighttime. And I realized that we were coming home and we'd be coming home at like noon or 1 o'clock on Sunday. And that whoever was in the back of this black pickup truck with the black bed going through the desert was going to die back there. We didn't have air conditioning in the front, but we had shade. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you're going to get heat. Whoever's in the back when we come home, because I ain't riding in front or back twice. I'll do it once one way and one the other way. And then the other person's going to die of exposure in the back. So I said, you know what? I will gladly get out of the car and you ride. And then I got in the back of the pickup truck. Right. And then we drove, no Walkman, no earbuds, no telephone, to nothing, just like laid on the back of a pickup truck, and we drove to Vegas. And then
that's a great plan for anyone except you kick off twice, Ray or Oldhofer. You kick off to start the game and start the second half.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this drive back.
I don't feel good about the exchange.
Well, I was not going to relinquish the front on the ride home.
A lot of people have a plan with Ray.
I would have fought.
Ray also has plans.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was we got to Vegas. We hung out in Vegas, did nothing. I have no idea. Ate a buffet and played nickel slots or something. And then at a certain point, we got to Sunday morning, and I was laughing at him. I was like, all right, have fun. It's got to be 117 degrees outside. Like, good luck in the back of that pickup truck. And he's like, I'm not getting in the back. And I said, yes, you are, because we had a deal, and I got out of the cab, and I sat in the back, and it'll be goddamn if I'm getting in the back again. And he's like, no, I'm not getting in the back. I said, yes, you are. And he said, no, I'm not. Flying home. And I was like,
wow.
You're flying home?
Power move.
There was a guy named Saul. God rest his soul. He was rich to us. I don't know if he was actually rich, but he could buy Southwest ticket.
And $30.
He also could go to like a weird lower tier steakhouses on a weeknight. You know, it was like he'd order a shrimp cocktail. It was like a big deal kind of stuff for us.
It's high roller.
Yeah, he had like an Oldsmobile Cutlass or something. Not a truck. Oh, yeah, it was a weird thing. And he liked Ray. And so... in maybe a Lou Pearlman kind of way, but he was like, I like Ray. And he's like, and Ray probably hit him up, like, you flying south? Like, buy me a ticket. And it was like, all right, I'll buy you for $79. He just put him a one-way ticket. Funny. And I remember if I had had a pencil in my hand, which is a little life lesson, which is I was still going to ride in the front anyway, but somehow getting out of the car and relinquishing it on the way there.
It wasn't as sweet.
No.
Now, I have... ridden on motorcycles, backs of motorcycles, backs of pickup trucks, in the boots of two-seater cars, like facing the wrong direction. I've gone everywhere on people's laps, on handlebars of bikes. Like,
sidecar?
Never.
Ooh. I bet Jay Leno could hook you up.
Never did a side hack, as they call it.
You got goggles.
The Snoopy goggles.
In the business. Okay. That would have been fun. This was all like crazy necessity stuff. And thus, I've never really had any rules about how I traveled or needed to be treated or who I was exposed to or this guy or that guy or who was driving or who was picking me up. Or I just never had any personal space or safety.
You didn't have the luxury.
Yeah, you can invade my space. My space was constantly invaded by the worst person ever, me. I was invading my own space. And so I was ruleless on things. If I went to someone's house, I'd sleep on the floor. I didn't care. I'd sleep outside. I'd go to Palm Springs where we didn't have a hotel or motel. It would just be, it'd be like, spring break, and we'd get there and I'd sleep on a lounge chair with a towel. Like just outside of a hotel, or we go to Tijuana and just a car would break down, would sleep by the side of the freeway. Like I never had any rules.
There was an era in our lives which was defined by doesn't really matter where you sleep.
Yeah, you'd be so drunk and up so late, wouldn't even matter. So I didn't have any rules, and it served me well because when someone calls and they go, hey, you're going to be in D.C., you want to take a tour, and I'll come pick you up, and we'll go to NASA, I'm like, yeah, for sure. And then it's like, well, we can go out and get some barbecue after. Well, let's do it.
Sounds good.
And Mike evidently has no rules either because he's more than happy to travel along with me.
Now, I get that you have no rules, and I get that Mike has no rules, but I do not get that Dr. Drew has no rules.
Dr. Drew has very low self-esteem.
Oh, okay.
And if somebody says this is how it works, he will just do it. He will just do whatever you tell him to do. So if you're going to go play University of Kansas and some dizzy chick's going to pick you up in her boyfriend's Pathfinder that's not roadworthy and doesn't know where the hotel is from the airport and doesn't know where the venue is from the hotel.
But knows where the clothes hamper is.
It's in the back of the car. That's all Drew knows is that person was dispatched to pick us up, and that's the rule.
And thus we'll get in.
And thus we get in. They had no anything. I was just laughing because I was... just had a meeting at Fox, and they were talking about the four, I guess, and how long, I don't know, they were sort of laughing about, I was like 10 minutes late to this meeting, which took place on the Fox lot. It's my fault. The thing about the Fox lot is, from my house to the Fox lot, it's an hour. But once you get on the Fox lot, it's 20 minutes before you get to building 100 right. on floor C and parking level D. Like, you don't factor in all that. You just showing up at the right time is not the right time. You got to go find parking, find the valet, get to this thing, walk across the campus, then go through security, and then back up to this. Mm-hmm. And I didn't factor in all that. I was 15 minutes late. It was announced, though. So I was passing all these big signs, the four, with P. Diddy and my favorite DJ Khaled.
Yes.
All the mega talents. It was like, well, you're late, but you know P. Diddy. And I'm like, how's that work? He's like, hey, he'll sit in his trailer for like 2 or 3 hours, like when everyone's ready to go. And
we the best.
I know it's a power move.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a coincidence that it's a brother move, because it's a reclaiming of, hey, you know, my mama cleaned your toilets and now you can wait for me. It's over compensation. It'd be nice in a few years when there wasn't that, but there is a definite over compensation. Rob Riggle doesn't really feel that necessity that you respect him or overcompensate.
Yeah, he just shows up on time.
Dr. Drew and Rob Riggle, their whole thing is, they want to get out of there as fast as humanly possible, and that's what I want to do. So if you say it's 8 o'clock call time, I want to get there at 8 so we can wrap at 9:30 and I can go home. If I sit in my trailer, it's cool, but we're not going to finish until we get started. And if we're not going to start, then I'm just going to be here that much longer. But evidently, P. Diddy spends a lot of time in the trailer, and there's a lot of negotiation to like try to get him out, get him onto the stage. It's like this there for hours, and I cannot believe how wildly. I get it. There's a part where it's like, well, you have to act like P. Diddy, but
it's on brand.
There are 75 people waiting around who'd like to tuck their kids in.
Mm-hmm.
No one can say a word.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad. It is sad.
Call the shots.
All right. And also, it doesn't really, you can look at it as respect, but it's not endearing. It's not that anyone really respects you anymore. It's just, no. They just have to wait.
To tolerate
they look at you,
you.
A pain in the ass, have to wait for.
Yeah, demanding respect isn't always exactly what respect means.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm. All right. So we will go to Washington, D.C., and we will take a tour of NASA. And then in some Hubble telescope, like control room and some other good stuff.
Wow.
Or we'll be gutted like fish and left by the side of the road by a super angry fan.
We'll
find
out Monday.
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Or we won't.
Or we won't. That's right. All right. So we got that. Yes, Brian. Were you about to say something?
Speaking of the super hot drive to Vegas, we've all made the drive. LA to Vegas is sort of a thing for people who live here. It's a 4-hour drive. It can be extremely hot most of the year. That was a... Christy and I took our first like road trip to Las Vegas, right? And it was super hot. It was probably around her birthday, like June, you know, super hot. And we hadn't gotten more than a couple of miles, like just past downtown, when my crappy pickup truck at the time, the air conditioning
Chevy
kicked out.
Chevy.
I was living large. I had the Chevy 1500.
Ooh, sweet.
short cab, short bed,
right.
All the whole thing.
Right.
That was a pretty crappy pickup truck. But the air conditioning gave out, and it's probably about 98 in downtown, which, do the math, it's going to be 128 in Vegas. And Chris and I just started dating, and I'm worried. I'm like, oh, man, I got bad news for you. This air conditioning is not putting any cold air. And she, to her immense credit, was like, that's okay. Let's roll the windows down. She totally rolled with it, and I think that's when I fell in love with her a little bit more. Right,
you bought the ring that
it's
night.
It's a sign, right, when like your person you're dating or your partner can kind of roll with it. You're not dating someone who's, for lack of a better term, high maintenance or precious. Like, oh, it sucks. What are you going to do? Let's roll the windows down. And it sucked, but we got through it, and it was a little bit of a endorsement, an indicator.
Yeah. Nothing worse than high maintenance or any kind of maintenance.
I mean, that is extremely uncomfortable, but she was like, what are you going to do? We're on our way.
I can remember any kind of road trip with any kind of vehicle required a bunch of packing of antifreeze and water and maybe a belt
a
or something.
A gallon of water.
Yeah, just something to dump in the radiator.
Oh. Yeah,
there's bad times. But part of my no better time to be poor thing, because you buy yourself a used Mini Cooper for $11,000, make payments of $149 a month and drive a car with icy cold air, and yeah. you can get Bluetooth, you don't. Yeah, you had to think, like, if you were going to go up north, the Bay Area, or go to Vegas or something, there was some planning. You didn't just get in the car and Absolutely. Turn the key and put it in gear. It was a lot yeah. of prep.
And Regina, you and I are the same era where you used to have, if you wanted to listen to CDs, for God's sake, you had the tape adapter, remember, that wired into your
yes,
disc man.
Yes, you have to have the cassette tape with the wire attached. Yep.
Right. Oh, that one. Yeah.
That was a good one.
All right. Max Pata, we got a picture of you sleeping in a chest of drawers.
Why? The floors were full. So it was that or the
Don't
bathroom tile, and I picked that because I was able to fit.
Okay, just so we're clear, this armoire is almost touching the ceiling, and Chris has somehow climbed up on top of it and wedged himself between the top and the ceiling.
Yeah, and the worst part was, since the floors were full, I couldn't go to the bathroom because I was going to just land on somebody coming off of the thing. So I just had to hold it, but...
Where were you?
That was a choice I was made. Ventura.
Oh.
Yeah, it was for a Mangria trip.
Oh,
so
no!
All of us stuffed in one room.
Drinks couldn't drink for an extra room?
I'm surprised we swung for one.
Oh, my God.
Is Butch and Rooster here, by the way?
Yep.
Oh, they're here. Okay. All right. I'll tell you guys about Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club has me looking and feeling amazing. I was actually using their razor and their... their shave butter, mm-hmm. man. Stuff is good. I'm trying to think. I was using the shower this morning. It's nice. Get yourself a... Let's keep the Dollar Shave Club razor in my shower and the shave butter in there. I put a little glass shelf up
nice.
In there, like right under the shower head, or under it, but on that same wall. And I keep it on there, and then I put the little stick-on mirror on the glass there, and just shave in the shower, man. Do yourself a favor. It's a great time for Dollar Shave Club. Your first month of their best razor, plus travel size shave butter, body cleanser, butt wipes, all the stuff you need, just $5. After that, replacement cartridges, ship, and it's just a few bucks a month. It's the Dollar Shave Club starter set. And it's just one more thing not to deal with. You know, I know it's such a hassle. You go in, out here, they lock up the cartridges, and this, that, and the other. It drives me nuts. And let's just have it sent to your house. A couple bucks a month. Again, just $5 exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. There was a sad state of affairs, the locking up of everything. I think there was a lawsuit against, like, I don't know if it was Costco or something, but they were locking up the products for black women.
The hair products.
Whatever the stuff was, the maintenance, but it would have been like kind of specific to black women. But the lockup razors over here, which aren't specific to black women, they're specific to men. Mm-hmm. And then they lock up the spray paint over at the Home Depot, which is not specific to black men or white women or anything. It's just, they just lock up everything that gets stolen.
And
I don't know why. In the Sudafed, like, there's going to be a lawsuit, but the thing is, like, this notion that company-wide somebody said over at Costco, or we'll figure out the story, that, look, here's what we need to do, that's an insane notion. By a group that may not like black women, but sure as hell wants their money and doesn't want lawsuits.
Indeed. I'm sure it's just an inventory.
Oh, it was Walmart. Sorry.
I'm sure it's just an inventory algorithm that these are the items that are getting stolen the most and we're losing the most money on, so lock them up.
It would vary from store to store, and for some places it would be hair products for black women, and other places it'd be razors for white men, or whatever it is, or Sudafed, depending on what party you went to that makes some trucker speed.
Kenny Loggins CDs. Things
yes,
for white
Kenny
men.
Right. The idea that everything's got to be a lawsuit, or the idea that everything is preconceived, like, here's what we got to do in 2018. It drives me nuts. Oh, we have video of women who's outraged about it. Wow, Max Pattis doing his work. The other thing, too, I want to just yell about women for a second. I've heard people, like, debating and arguing over the Doritos chips for women.
Oh,
and it's
loud,
like, first things first. As far as I can tell, if you're a woman and you'd like to buy a bag of regular Doritos, you may. Mm-hmm. So why is this an attack? The attack would be, you can't handle regular Doritos.
Those won't be sold to you.
I'll give you the soft ones with no cheese bits on it.
Right.
That's a problem. This is actually another selection of Doritos mm-hmm. that you have at your fingertips, pardon yes. the pun. This notion of women don't like the orangey whatever on their fingers. I completely understand that. I buy that more than men. And it has to do with the audible, the crunch. I can buy that as well. So Doritos are making a product for women, not because they don't like women, but because they'd like women to buy more of their product. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that have to turn into a talking point?
Worst case scenario, it's pandering, but it's not discriminating.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's maybe a little crass, but it's not. You shouldn't be upset about it. You shouldn't burn a single calorie.
I don't look at anything as pandering. First off, not wanting orange fingers is not a negative.
But it's specifically for women, everybody who doesn't like this.
Yeah, to position that for women is just,
right, but women don't like it more than, I don't know why it's dumb. Women don't like this thing more than men.
Oh, nobody
likes it, but women seem to have a bigger issue with it. Men are willing to do it, and women aren't as willing to walk around. There are many things that women don't want to do that men engage in all the time. Evidently, walking around with orange fingers at a Super Bowl party may be one of them.
Well, I can say that it drives Christy insane when she can hear chips crunching or any kind of food crunching. And to me, I don't even notice.
Oh, I love that sound.
This is an interesting point because you want to drive Lynette nuts, you do anything with styrofoam. Squeak around styrofoam. So
she
maybe
the clinking of the forks and knives on plates. Yep.
Same with Lynette. So maybe there's a little more of an auditory whatever thing that women have that men don't have. I'm willing to accept that.
I don't doubt that this comes from research. This is directly.
Okay, so now they've done their research and they've offered chips for women because they want more money. I have no problem with that. It's not an attack to me. I don't even know why it's a I don't even know why we discuss it. It's just one more thing in this country that they don't have in other countries that are shitholes. That's it. Careful. Okay, let's move forward with real problems. That's what I'm saying. All right, so
like
woman
women at Walmart screaming.
Woman going nuts at Walmart. Sorry.
All of our shit is locked up. It's multicultural. No, this is black. This is African American hair care products. All of this shit is locked up. All of it. All of this shit. No, I don't even want anything. This is really bothering me. All of this shit is locked up. I can't get anything. This is the only Walmart out here in AV that is doing this. Everything else is not locked up. But all of the African-American, even the combs and satin bonnets are locked up. This is ridiculous.
I got satin
this
bonnets?
This is really bothering me.
Jealous.
Everything. It's not fair. It is not fair. And I'm speaking out on this. This isn't right at all.
Yeah.
Well, what's the answer to, well, these items get stolen at a higher rate? What's the answer? There is no answer.
No, but the thing about deciding that someone is hateful or racist or bigoted or homophobic or whatever, so there's no answer to that. Yeah. I've just anointed you that, and then we can move on.
It's
yes,
a soft mattress. To
some things
on.
Get stolen at a higher rate than others. Sometimes it comes down along racial lines. That's just the way it works. Now, in my world and in Jordan Peterson's world, mm-hmm. if you would like this stuff not to be locked up, you can't yell at the guy who manages the store to not lock it up. You can discuss ways to not have groups steal as much stuff, thus it would not necessitate this. That's my answer. But no one wants to live in that world because that world is a real world. Mm-hmm. They want to live in a world where they go yell at somebody about something that they probably didn't want to do. Yeah. You don't save money by building glass enclosures. Yeah. They would like a world where none of their stuff was ever stolen by anyone, regardless of color. They have a dream. It's not to have any of their hair products stolen. But sadly, because they keep track of things and they use a computer, they probably started to see certain things stolen. But again, you want to talk about discriminating? Whoever's stealing the cartridges at the CVS for the razors over on Ventura Boulevard, where I used to go to try to buy cartridges, I'm guessing that's first off, the cartridges are 90% for men. These aren't Lady Bic or whatever. Some of them are, but I mean, it's four guys. So
Gillette.
All right. So you're discriminating against an entire sex because I have to go find the guy and get the keys and go whatever it is. But I don't assume that they're locking it up because I'm a male. I'm assuming they're locking it up because there's a lot of homeless guys and junkies and stuff. And it's a big ticket item. You can get $10 for it. unclear where the black market is, pardon the pun, definitely, for the razors. I want to, no one's ever approached me in the parking lot.
Razors?
I don't know where,
trench coat.
I don't know where they're going,
hey,
but
Harry.
I'd love to be a part of that. All right. Let's see. We got break. We got good sports. We got Mike Rooster McConaughey out there. Mike, I think, was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, I want to say about 5 years ago, when he went to Austin for South by Southwest.
Okay.
That much I remember. Let me tell you about the Books, man. We love the Books. Don't panic. It's Valentine's Day. Don't get suckered into $19.99 specials that end up costing you $60 or buying produce department flowers that smell like onions. The Books. That is short for bouquet. John Wilkes Books runs that company like a champion, man. And they got an awesome deal for you guys, man. So let's not, the Books, they don't sit around a warehouse. They go right from the farm right to your table. They don't cool off somewhere, getting all stale and falling apart. Amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price, plus free weekday delivery. Show your Valentine's Day or your Valentine that you care. Send artisan designed flowers from the Books. Order today. Get 15% off when you enter Adam. Great products, man. Beautiful stuff. So much nicer than the supermarket stuff and so much less expensive than the other online competitors. The Books, BOUQS.com. Promo code Adam. Get the 15% off at Books.com. All right. Rooster and Butch are out there. Rooster and Butch is the name of the show. On
he was on Kimmel, too.
It was on Kimmel. Was that about 5 years ago?
With Robert Duvall. What year was this? 2014, so yeah.
Right in there. I remember that. Self-made millionaires from West Texas. We'll talk to those guys right after this break in Good Sports.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. A reminder for you, even though football season's over, I'm going to keep on flapping my gums over at NFL Media with my pals Matt Money Smith, Willie McGinnis, Maurice Jones-Drew, the rest of the gang. Check out the Dave Damashek football program. It's really now the offseason.
Shut your mic, Gary.
Yeah, shut your mic, Gary. I'm trying to talk about something here, and it's important.
Go ahead.
Now, I was saying before I was interrupted that even though it's the offseason, that's I feel that's my time to shine because that's when I focus on the game of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ace, speaking of the game of life, I'm sitting in the car in Minneapolis. I'm driving along, and everybody was really cool. That it was freezing there, and most people I was there with were belly aching. Oh, it's so cold. All right, listen, we're here for 7 days. You're gonna pull through. Anywho. We're driving, and all the drivers that they had arranged were retired Minneapolis cops. And so they had great stories and everything else. And by the way, the thing that was interesting about being in the car with them was you see, and it was very crowded by Minneapolis standards. You know, there's a ton of traffic downtown, and you could feel their frustration. And I said to a few of them along over the course of the week, oh, no wonder you're frustrated. When you're a cop for 30 years – You just flip on the rollers. You just flip on the lights and you do what you please on the road. You can't do that as a civilian anymore.
Right.
That must be a terrible thing to suddenly have to adjust to regular life like that.
Yeah, I've had to do it with my celebrity. It's horrible.
Hasn't that opened it up for you? There are things that you can't do in public because you can't. I've realized nobody knows who I am, but once in a blue moon, as the story I'm about to tell you illustrates, people do recognize me in weird places that I don't realize that they would know who I am. And a few people, as I was walking down the street, this is absolutely true, and Matt Money Smith can confirm this. One guy comes up to we're walking, he and I to dinner, and a couple other guys, and somebody says, "Dave Damashek," And I say, yeah. And I turn around, and he doesn't say hello. He doesn't say, oh, hey, my name is Dave. Yep, that's me. He goes, you know, Minneapolis is the home of the Honeycrisp.
Oh, that's wow.
Right. That's right.
Big Apple fan.
It was great. And we kibitzed about the Honeycrisp for a minute. Then we walked on. Not 90 seconds later, we turned the corner. We're down. We're outside of a bar. People out there burning their nails. And a guy goes, hey, Dave Damashek, love you on the Corolla show. Hey, you know Minnesota is the home of the Honeycrisp apple.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I got to say, the thing that I always thought was weird about people and why I sort of knew we were like, a little more animal than we ever want to give ourselves credit for is, I'm coming full circle. Mm. I went to Super Bowl whatever in Miami with Jimmy, with Kevin and Bean a million years ago, and I was on MTV at the time, and I think me and Jimmy were like walking down the street in Miami, and it was at night, and I was wearing a ball cap and I hadn't shaved for a few days, and somebody just like driving by in a car was like, hey, Corolla. And I thought, it's very interesting because these people have only seen me on MTV at that time. I never wore a ball cap on MTV, and I was always clean shaven. So this time I'd not shaven for a few days, and I was wearing a ball cap. It's not a look that they knew, and they were just going by me, like, at night. So there's something about your posture, your gait, the way you walk, the way your shoulders are. Like, there's some sort of thing that you give off that's that transcends, oh, I recognize the face of this person. These people knew from a distance and just walking along.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
Exactly what you're describing. It's nighttime. It's cold. You know, when people are cold, they tend to sort of shutter their peripheral vision to some degree, at least. And people just walking, the 30-year-old guys just like, hey, Honeycrisp apple. You know, instead of that's my thing. Hey, where are the Juggies at? My version apparently is like, hey, Honeycrisp apple. But so I'm driving around with one guy, and he sat silently for about 10 minutes, and then just towards the end of the ride.
The ex-cop.
Yes, he says, hey, I just want you to know I'm a fan of yours. And in fact, he's knows who I am, because what he really is a gigantic Adam Carolla fan. Mm. And he's listened to you forever. He's quoting back to us our conversations and stuff that you did 10 years ago and so on. And his name is Sergeant Jeff Jindra, a lovely guy. They all were. I mean, these guys, the Minnesota Nice thing, absolutely spot on based on my experience up there. Everybody, how bummed are you about the Vikings? Well, I mean, they disappoint us a lot. You know, we just hope everybody has a good time this week.
Yeah.
Like, what? Talk about your point that you made on yesterday's show. How do people feel? Like, how diehard a fan is are the fan base, and do they have to shut out the world to focus in on their team? And I can't say anything bad during the third quarter, else I might jinx my team. Are people like that all over the place? Apparently not in Minnesota, because I kept imagine if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan who lives in Minneapolis and you have season tickets to the Vikings, the team that beat you 2 weeks before is now in town with their fans who are not quiet. All week. That's what you're hearing. Walking around in their Eagles jerseys. Then you look at the end zone of your stadium, and it's painted green and says Eagles. How sick would you be? I don't know what I would do if that were the Steelers' home stadium. They're like, well, we've been disappointed by the Vikes a lot. Hey, you having a good time around here? Can we do anything? But anyway,
I got to say, I've played Minneapolis multiple times, podcasts, stand-up shows. That place, the people are great. The town is great. They're progressive. They got cool parts of town. It's cold, but it's like Austin, Texas. And, again, go find some Polish food and eat some kielbasa.
I wanted to go to your place. It was hard to get, a little bit hard to find. But yes, we didn't get to your Polish place, and that's my one lament that we didn't get there. But, money and the rest of us had a good time. But anyhow, Sergeant Jindra brought us, he knew somehow I was going to be in that car that day, because he brought a gift for you, Ace. He gave me a t-shirt. I'm giving you the beanie.
It's a boxing club.
Yeah.
And it's Fighting Change. And MPLS is what it says. So
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. There you go. So there you go. I look, and let me tell you something. Let me tell you how badly I need a beanie. I am walking around in a beanie, a black beanie, and I saw myself in the mirror the other day, and it says Ghost Ship on it. It was a beanie that I got as
Ghost
a
Ghost Ship. That movie's how old?
It's got to be 17 years old.
Ghost like, Ship.
I got a free beanie when I was at Loveline, but someone, you know, some minor role player was in Ghost Ship and brought me a beanie, and I'm still walking around with it today. So
thank you,
Captain. I appreciate it. What year is Ghost Ship? 02.
That's only 16 years old.
This can be second only. This is a cop thing. You know, they have the big black mag lights, flashlights.
Yeah.
I have a mag light flashlight. There was another promotional item for the movie Relic. So you can see me at night with my Ghost Ship beanie, walking around with my Relic flashlight as I walk Philly cheesesteak through the darkened bowels of Blackanyata.
That can't be Adam Carolla, can it? I mean, boy, he must have
Relic 97. The mag light still works. Like it's a good. I know when you give a promotion, you know, don't give out golf tees. Give out a mag light. It's a little like it's more costly up front, but I've got 21 years.
You're on some run.
Oh, I'm on some run with that Relic flashlight. That's crazy. All right, let me tell you about Little Caesars.
Ooh,
pizza,
like
pizza,
that.
Man. Yeah. They've just come up with something big. It's a game changer. It's their extreme most bestest pizza. It's the most cheese, most pepperoni at the nation's best price. Only $6 plus tax. Nobody loads on so much for so little. I told you, man. There was a Little Caesars next to Acme Theater when I built that place, and I ate there every single night. The extra most bestest, hot and ready all day, every day, participating Little Caesars locations. If you love a lot of cheese, and I do, there can never be enough cheese in a melted
form
for me.
You would love Pittsburgh then, because they put a ton of cheese in
I
stuff.
Love a pizza with a ton of cheese. And conversely, the ones where I go, well, this is a cheeseless pizza, I'll lump you in with a hairless cat. I've got no use for you if I cannot stroke your lovely cheese. Cheese and pepperoni. It's head over there tonight. Nothing else like it. It is Little Caesars. Gary?
Claims of most cheese and most pepperoni on the nation's best price is based on comparison of the following pizzas for the top four national pizza chains. Little Caesars, Extra Most Bestest Pizza, and the other three pizza chains, large round, standard menu, one topping pepperoni pizza sold at everyday menu price.
All right. Good times up in Minneapolis. Thanks again to Sergeant Jindra and all those other great cops up in Minneapolis. We'll talk to you on the next Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports, Damashek out. Good Sports.